Hello and welcome to the maiden video voyage of the Sexual Healing Podcast. We're now simulcasting on YouTube, our YouTube channel, as well as our original podcast format. I am your host, Dr. Pookie, and I have figured out enough of my technology, maybe not all of it yet, but I figured out enough that I believe I'm showing up in video, as I said. For a minute there, I thought it was just going to be audio only because this shit was giving a brother the blues. However, I was able to get my little stuff to work, kinda, not exactly the way I want. My background replacement is still struggling a little bit, so you can see my microphone boom arm, but hey, I'm here. So let's get into this show. It is Wednesday, April 10th. And I want to start with some shout-outs. This morning, I listened to the season finale of the Eat, Pray, Thought podcast with Savoy, as well as Emo Black Girl. And y'all got to check that out with Angelica Ross from Pose. And she's on a new show as well that I cannot remember the name of. She was in Claws. I believe season two of Claws. That show, she brought gentle reads, she brought some rough reads, she dropped some pearls of wisdoms and mini gems. So you need to check that out. She lays it out, and she gave me all kind of life this morning because it was rough getting up out the sheets. I had my book. I was good. Another shout out is to my fellow podcaster, Trilificent, over at Gay Side Stories. He just completed his Dating While Fat three-part series last week. And, you know, if you have any extra pounds out there, you can know how difficult it can be to date and just how traumatizing and scarring it can be in dealing with some folks. Not everybody, but some folks can make you feel just lots of ways. So I really appreciated that three-part series. He talks to multiple folks and gets various perspectives. The first episode was with a woman. The second was with a gay man, I believe. I'm trying to remember because I listened about 2 weeks ago. And the most recent one was actually with a heterosexual man who likes to date plus-size women. And he's also a fierce defender of plus-size women on Twitter because he's not there for the fuckery. So check out that series on Gay Side Stories with Trilificent. And just, you know, get some inspiration from those stories that you're going to hear and start to embrace some body positivity if you're not already there. Because, you know, we all got some lumps and bumps and stuff that we want to do something with. But, hey, we work with what we got. So, all right, let's get on to our first segment of the show. I'm trying some new things here. We'll see how it works. But I have a segment called As Seen on Twitter where I basically kind of talk about and maybe respond to some of the items that have popped up on Twitter, particularly Black Gay Twitter, because the mess is strong out there in the world. But first, I want to ask a question about why these folks keep messing with Auntie Maxine. They keep trying her as if they somehow gonna snatch a wig off her head, as if, you know, she's gonna let them make her look like a fool. I believe Secretary of Treasury, I think he's Treasury, Steve Mnuchin testified, I believe, this morning or yesterday and basically tried to run her committee. And she was like, what you not going to do? She just, you know, she was just like, no, this is some bullshit. This is my house. And you going to answer my questions. And she's like, how dare you come up in here and tell me how long you going to participate in this? And, you know, and then she's like, basically, she said to him, it's like, if, you know, can you cancel your meeting and can you have your ass here the way we asked you to? And I guess he took that, you know, because she said, if you can't, then you need to go. And he's like, well, I can cancel my meeting. And she, you know, she's like, okay, fine, then let's get started. And he kind of took that as, I guess, maybe make a threat that, you know, if you ain't going to, you know, yield to my heterosexual white maleness, then I'm going to walk up out this bitch. And she was like, okay, let me show you how a sister does it. So they need to quit fucking with Auntie Maxine because she's been relatively quiet lately because there's been so much other fuckery and foolishness coming out of that administration and off Capitol Hill. But you know what? I was there for all of it because it. I just sat there like, what the hell am I watching? I had to watch it twice because I was like, wait, did he just? And he did. It was kind of like, you know, when you done fucked up as a kid and your mom or your dad is all up in your ass deep and you really trying to cut off, you know, shorten, you know, the ass whooping that you about to take, whether it be verbal or otherwise, and they're looking at you like, you the one that fucked up. I'm the parent, you the child. You gonna stand there until I finish saying what I gotta say. So it was definitely a case of that with Auntie Maxine, and she was not having it, and I loved it, and I got my cackle. So the next thing, the other day I was on Twitter, I think it was yesterday, and I saw something about someone had a question where they posted this guy. I won't name names on Twitter feeds, but he said Dwayne Wade's son is 11 years old and gay. In my opinion, an 11-year-old child shouldn't even know what a sexuality is. What the hell is he doing at the gay pride parade? SMH. Well, we'll call you BDB. Yeah, BDB. BDB, yes. Okay. So, BDB, you know, we're pretty much born as sexual beings. Now, at the age of 11, I'm pretty sure what side his bread is buttered on. There you go. It's, you know, I recognize that you can sit back and judge him and be a dick about it. And to say it's ridiculous for a gay child to be at a gay pride parade, if anything, that is where a gay child needs to be if the pride parade is in town, because clearly he's not going to build any sort of pride fucking with people like yo ass. So what I will say is that we are sexual beings. Some of us know what we, you know, at least who we're oriented toward in terms of who we're attracted to pretty early in life. You know, I definitely had confirmation of, you know, what side I like my bread buttered on by the age of 4. And it was pretty clear. And I said, okay. And even some of the aesthetics of what I found attractive, they were pretty clear to me back then. So basically, this 11-year-old boy who clearly, you know, his father is Dwayne Wade. I'm pretty sure if he's not in a private school, he's certainly in a very strong school, which means he's been exposed to a multitude of sexual orientations, and there's probably a bit more freedom there for him to be himself. So I think he's had the space to figure out what he wants and, you know, and what works for him. So it's just a little crazy for you to go there, but you know, and if you want to get academic about it, I recall reading in my human sexuality textbook way back when in undergrad that there was a tribe in Papua New Guinea that if the infant sons or the toddler sons got real cranky and just disagreeable, or wouldn't go to sleep, you know, their mothers would actually tug on their penises. And the little boys would calm the hell down and go to sleep. Now, if that don't sound like a man, I don't know what is. Because, you know, you tug on that thing, it does its thing, you know, get a little load. And what you doing? You're rolling your ass over and going to sleep. At the very least, you would chill the hell out. So again, you know, if you got a 1-month-old that kind of maybe doesn't know they have a penis, but they understand sensation and they kind of get it together, hey, work with it. But okay, moving on from that shit. One of the things that I love on Twitter is the HBCU confessions. These damn confessions have me hollering. So we had one from ASU that came out this morning. And she basically said, "I'm a heavyset girl, and my biggest fantasy is sucking a nigga dick with a mouthful of Polynesian sauce from Chick-fil-A." Now, I probably should have censored the N-word because I don't like to use it, but I'll be true to the material. What I will say to you, sister, bravo. You know, not everybody even knows what really turns that crank or makes that clit jump. You clearly have an idea, and you're trying to investigate that and see if it's really for you. So I respect and admire that a great deal. You know, I'm always about you getting your freak on. Just make sure it's legal and consensual. And you know, a lot of people, particularly like, well, I don't want to just say women, because a lot of people can be repressed sexually and not really just give themselves to it. Sister, you have actually had, you know, have an inkling about what works for you, perhaps. and a willingness to try it. Like, you know, you want a big, was it a, oh no, she's heavy set. Okay. So, well, she could want a big man too. I don't know. She didn't say all that. But I love the fact that that is a very specific kink that you are looking into. Nothing wrong with a little food and sex, but you know, we'll be talking about that next week, I believe. I have a letter that we're gonna do on food and sex next week. But yeah, I love that. So ASU, I hope that fantasy goes well for you and that you will share the results of said fantasy, because you know, I'm waiting to hear all that. So on to the next item. This was a tweet from a gentleman named Hustle, and he posed a question. He said, if a person you just started dating tells you after y'all had sex that they are still going to have sex with other people, would you continue having sex with them? For me, in a word, probably, yeah. It's like it's a date. Until there's exclusivity on the table, if they want to sleep with other people, okay. If I want to sleep with other people, okay. There's no expectation of monogamy at that point. You're dating. You're getting to know someone. Part of that is having sex with them. You could decide to follow the Steve Harvey 90-day rule, which some people advocate for. I don't, you know, yeah, I need to know before 90 days whether, you know, but okay, that's me and a lot of other folks out there. But yeah, just this idea of expecting exclusivity from someone that you are dating casually, perhaps, it's to me, it's kind of a non-starter, and it's a road to some heartache, I would say. But also, now if there was an expectation where you're exclusively dating, and you know, they're like, I got you got me, we ain't going nowhere, and then they talk about they want to have sex with other people. You know, if you're not okay with that, if you're not willing or able to negotiate that into your relationship or figure out what are the ground rules on that, then, you know, maybe you do need to break up. But if you both agree that you can have sex with other people, or you're like, hell, you can go fuck who you want, I don't care, because I ain't doing this, or this, then okay. And you just have to make sure you set the rules for that. Those can call it a hall pass, kitchen pass, open relationship. But communication is very key there. Alrighty. So I came across something that was really kind of, well, it was fucked up, basically. There was a, she calls herself a, okay. I'm not sure what this person's original name was, or not original name, but the original poster. But she says trans women don't owe you hyperfemininity at all. I don't have to shave, wear makeup, or physically transition in order for you to take me seriously. Masculine butch trans women exist. I'm beautiful and legitimate as I am. And then she indicates her pronouns as she, her. And she ends it with a sparkling heart, and she has a hashtag Trans Day of Visibility and hashtag Trans Week of Visibility. So she said, I'm not just taking a week. I'm not just taking a day. I'm taking a week. You know, fuck what you heard. So in response to her, you know, she posts three pictures of herself, and if I can figure out the technology, I believe the pictures should be posted somewhere over in this area. But if not, I'll just look crazy and I'll put the link in there for you. All right. So someone by the name of the Shauna Brooks, she replies in a very long, hateful, triggering message. She says, first of all, IKYFL, I figured out what that meant earlier. I know you. Oh, I know you fucking lying, I think is what I'm gonna interpret that to mean. I don't judge, but queer me out. Listen, Miss Thang Girl, you're not a transgender woman. Yeah, trans is an umbrella, and the transvestites and cross-dressers fall under the category, in which you may stand with us in solidarity as a trans person slash trans individual. I will give you that. Hell, I'm lying. sis, you can't sit with us. It's already confusing enough with all these labels that's going on. This is not a picture of what a true transgender woman is. And she goes on from there, and it's really long, and it's just, I think the thing for me that was just really jarring about this is you have two black trans women, well, you have one black trans woman completely tearing apart another one. And, you know, I say to that, you know, Ms. Brooks, do you not have enough people out there in the world that kind of possibly want you dead or at least want to whoop your ass on sight just for being who you are and embracing who you are, like having the audacity to be authentic about who you are? It really drives me crazy. And though I'm not a part of the trans or gender non-conforming community, I do consider myself someone who can ally when called upon. And I would certainly have to intercede on this and say, sister, no. You've got to allow her the space to be who she is. Now, you could look at the pictures of her and say, okay, yeah, you're looking a little mannish if you want to categorize it that way. But she's basically defining herself. She is saying she's a masculine, butch, trans woman. The same way you have women that are hyper-feminine and you know, won't let their man see them without a full face of makeup. I remember Niecy Nash basically saying that, you know, she was in labor and making sure that her face remained painted and that she was right. And I mean, you know, that is certainly an example of hyperfemininity. But more importantly, I think as a community at large, I keep hearing that trans and gender nonconforming folks really, more than anything, are fighting for the right to exist in peace. And part of that is naming and claiming who you are. And it's just raggedy as hell on your part as a black trans woman who I'm sure has caught her share of hell to sit here and just ravage another black trans woman. I don't care what she looks like. She could basically, you know, look like fucking Grizzly Adams and wear a dress and say, I'm a trans woman. You need to accept that because that's what you're asking from other people. You know, and Angelica Ross talked about that this morning, this idea of passing privilege and pretty privilege and the fact that that shit exists. And in some cases, it can save your life. I would say to you, Ms. Brooks, that you may want to support your sister more so than tear her down, because she's being torn down by other people. And frankly, we know that we tend to make some unfortunate decisions when we are depressed, when we are self-esteem is really damaged. And I have to think that, you know, this young lady is catching her share of problems from other people in her life and that are in the periphery. It's not to say that you tearing her down here is going to somehow make her do something risky and cost her her life. But she might be that person that's susceptible to that, where any random brother that shows her any kind of attention is like, hey, what's up, baby? You know, and she goes and she ends up dead, and we've lost yet another sister. You know, it hurts my heart to see postings about, you know, our black trans women and our sisters being killed. And, you know, Angelica Ross, she lays some folks out about that as well. We need to allow folks to exist, period. And that goes for black trans women and the men who love them, as well as the women who love them, and all the other folks of various gender identities and the spectrum, the panorama of gender expressions out there. Stop policing who folks love. And you know, unless folks are walking around shooting people, I don't understand. You know, Ms. Brooks, embrace womanhood, but more than that, embrace sisterhood. Embrace your sister. Don't come for her, because this is some, you know, you can't call her delusional and, you know, because she doesn't look the way you want her to, or she's not presenting a respectable image. trans women come in all shapes and sizes. And some of them can dress their asses off, and some of them, they look like they need a little help at the mall. But that's all I'm gonna say. So, all right, I'm gonna move on from that because it's getting me a little emotional, and I don't need to be that. It's so early in the show. Alrighty, so I had one more item that popped up from HBCU Confessions. I just love that Twitter feed. And I called this one DIY Pussy Poppin', from a sister at Spelman. And she writes, "I haven't had dick in weeks. For the first time in a while, I masturbated. I used a pillow and humped it and had a towel to rub my titties against to stimulate them, and I feel like I just got tongued down. Ladies, we don't need dick." Spelman. Now, I imagine there are some women out there that do not want any penis in their vagina. But all the ones that I've spoken to out there that have vaginas, they're like, "Yeah, I don't mind you licking it, but you got to stick that shit too." So I would say if you can somehow, my Spellman sister, if you can somehow find a way to incorporate perhaps a little penetration into that, you might be onto something. I'm just saying. But yeah, that roughness of a little towel, you can go low budget, or you can go nice plush, some Pima cotton maybe, or some Egyptian cotton. See if you like a more gentle touch. But all right. Given that I don't have a vagine, I'm not gonna go any further on that. But all right. So we're gonna move on to our next segment in the show, and I've tentatively titled it "I Need a Healing." And these are just questions and comments either that have come in via email, or that have been posted on my Twitter, well, actually Twitter DMs more so than my Twitter feed, because this is confidential. And our first letter is from, oh yeah, it underlined it in red, so I must have changed her name. We're gonna call her Latrice, and she says, "Hello guys, I have a question about online dating. I have an account on two different dating apps on my phone. I'm a hopeless romantic who believes in true love, but I found it hard to find, particularly in the dating apps. Recently, I came across this guy who shares my beliefs about love and relationships. He's really sweet and he likes me a lot, and I happen to like him too. He told me that he will visit my town later this month. He lives 3 hours away in a neighboring state, and he wants to meet me. I'm really hoping that we will work out somehow. But what do you think? If you were in a similar situation, do you think it will work out? Is online dating really effective in finding true love nowadays? Do you have any experiences about having a real love and connection with someone you met online?" Okay, so that's a lot of questions at the end there, Latrice, but I appreciate the specificity, so I'm not going to give you a hard time. And I also love your use of the dash. Very nice, very nice. Okay, so happy to hear that you found someone. I will say, online dating is some bullshit a lot of the time. I personally am on hiatus. I'm very much in a "ooh, don't touch me" phase. I'm just like, I'm good. I have my memories of sex. I'm good. And so I'm not using the online for dating or for getting my hookup on. I'm just like, yeah, again, don't touch me. I'm cool. So your first question was basically, what do I think? I think it's wonderful that you found a guy, that you guys have that level of communication. It's going to be really wonderful when he shows up at your door or wherever you're meeting him. And I'm hoping that you guys are able to have a connection. I think that if you do have that connection, then I don't see why it wouldn't work out. I mean, obviously not every relationship and everyone you're kind of vibing with is going to be the one for that kind of relationship, your forever partner, but I don't see why the relationship couldn't work out. 3 hours is, that's a bit of a drive. I'm not going to act like it's up the street. 3 hours is a little rough. However, you may find, well, no, you're a hopeless romantic, but you might find that you really would be okay just seeing him 2 or 3 days a week. I'm a person that likes my space, so you don't have to be up the street. Now, when I need a little loving, I'm like, "Why are you so damn far away?" But, hey, what can you do? You can't have a cake and eat it too. They call that selfish, but all right. So your question about, well, I think what you're saying is, a distance relationship that you've met online, do you think it'll work out? I think it has potential. I think if you guys are open and honest with one another about what it is that you're looking for, and also more importantly, figuring out how you're going to make this relationship work, I think that you guys will be in good shape. I don't see why it'd be a problem. So, definitely go forward, have a good time. Let's see here. And then you said, oh, do I have any experiences? I've not had a real love connection online. I've connected with some folks that are considered, pretty good friends, that we've had pretty long-term relationships as friends, perhaps friends with benefits, but no love connection, or real love, as you call it. I wouldn't go that far. Now, I do love these people, but it's not a, I look at them like, yeah, you'd won. No, I can't tell that lie. But again, Latrice, good luck to you. If you want to write in, let us know how it goes, please do. Because I am intrigued to find out how it works. And also just, what's your, how did you handle it? What decisions did you make? But make sure you negotiate how this is going to work. And understand what you need and advocate for it. But also be willing to communicate if your needs change. He might work out a tried and true method that's working early in the relationship, but a year in or 2 years in, that shit ain't working no more for you. You need to let him know what else needs to be done. Okay. Our next letter is from, yeah, we gave him, oh, okay. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, that's what you did. All right. Hi, guys. My name is John. I've been with my partner for 7 years, and I really love him. Congratulations, John. However, the sex has lost its zest for me. He doesn't want to try anything too far off the beaten path. He's pretty vanilla, and I want to explore some of my kinks. Handcuffs, blindfolds, fire play. All right, John. Role play. Okay, and heavy ass play. All right now. How important is sex to a healthy relationship? Pretty important. Is it possible to have a healthy and monogamous relationship with my long-term partner when it involves unsatisfying sex? And last but not least, should I just find another person to explore my kinks with? Okay, so going back to your first question, first of all, congratulations on 7 years. That's some time. And, as they like to joke in gay years, that's some time. And it sounds like you guys are in a monogamous relationship at this point, and that's cool. So, I always feel like if the demand for monogamy is going to be made, that you need to be willing to take one for the team, so to speak. You need to be willing to try some things that your partner might want to try. And that's where that ethical monogamy kind of comes into play, I guess, or ethical non-monogamy. If there's, if you're dissatisfied with the sex, then the relationship is in trouble. Now, when you asked the question, how important is sex to a healthy relationship, I said very much. That also, it's also very important if both of you kind of conclude that you don't need to have sex with one another anymore. As long as you're in agreement on that and both of you are cool, then the sex or lack of it is not a detriment. But because you guys are in different places, that's a little bit of an issue. So I think it's going to be very difficult for you to have a healthy relationship that's monogamous when you're unsatisfied sexually. Frankly, because the resentment's going to build, and it's going to build big time. It's going to start showing up in a lot of ways that are going to erode what you guys have built with one another over the last 7 years. It may even show up with you lashing out and just going out and getting your dick wet, and getting handcuffed and blindfolded and having, a little fire master, run some fire over your skin, which is actually a very interesting sensation. I've not done it sexually, but when I took a fire eating class, that shit was really intriguing. I mean, it burnt the hair off my arm, but that's another story. But I said, oh, this could be fun. I might have to look into this, like on my thigh or something. But okay, enough of my business out there. All right. I know of some couples that one of them is totally like wanting to try role play or is into it, and the other one just is not a good actor or good actress. And I also know some couples where one partner is either into or would like to have heavy ass play, and I guess that is meaning, supersized toys, butt plugs, perhaps a fist or two or three. That's some talent. I've seen it. Again, that can be a problem. So I do feel like if my advice to you would be, first of all, you need to talk with your partner. If he's unwilling to engage these things and you recognize that these things are really important to you, you're going to have to make a decision about whether you're going to forego them or you're going to have to negotiate some non-monogamy with him where he might be like, okay, fine, I don't want to know anything, or I do want to know what's going on. You guys have to negotiate that. But I would say whatever you do, you've got to be honest with them. You may decide to end a relationship, but be honest with the relationship. I think the reality is if you were to end this relationship over unsatisfying sex, you guys could probably still be friends after some healing time. But if you were to cheat on him or just totally go off, just go off the chain with it and you guys have an agreement and you violate it, you out there just slinging ass and dick all over the place and coming home with handcuff marks on your wrists and you talking about, no, I so and so. Yeah, you can't be lying. Got to be honest about it. So hopefully your relationship can withstand that and you can find someone else to explore your kinks with, but I think you need to do it in a negotiated settlement kind of way. Don't just slide out there and start dipping on dicks and carrying on, because that's going to be trouble, trouble, trouble. All right. All right, so our last letter of the day is from Kiki. Kiki writes in and says, "My man is a stripper. I recently heard that he did a private party for men. Should I be concerned? I was able to get past my issues with him stripping for women, but for men, I don't know." So, Kiki, I can understand how the situation may seem a little sticky, a little precarious to you. I guess the first question would be, do you trust your man? You said that you had issues with him stripping for other women, so it sounds like there may have been some issues around trust. Perhaps there's a history of him, cheating on you or being too flirtatious with women and just kind of inappropriate. It's also possible that, yeah, he just a hoe. And certainly being a stripper provides access to a lot of folks to be a hoe with. However, doesn't mean all strippers are doing it, and your man might be one of those strippers that's not doing it. He may just, in fact, be going to work because stripping is a job. I don't know if I'd classify him officially as a sex worker, but I guess, yeah, he's selling sex or the fantasy thereof, so yeah, he's a sex worker. Not all sex workers are doing sex works because they like sex. They're doing it because it pays well. And I suspect that you're living pretty well with your man because you were able to get past him stripping for women that you clearly saw as competition for his affections or at least his erection. So with that being the case, if you're not convinced that your man is straight, that he has no interest in penis in that way, then you need to have a conversation with him. And you need to really ask the hard-hitting questions. You may want to, on his next job, or you may want to ask him, how did you come about getting this job? And why did you take it? Because I don't understand why you'd want men, ogling you like that. You know how the women are. Did you let these men do that to you? Oh, and actually, don't take that tone. Let me roll that back. Don't take that tone. It'll be a deal breaker to having anything resembling a useful conversation. You may want to ask him,
if he doesn't know that you know about the job, you probably want to ask him about maybe the most interesting and most difficult job he's had. You know, which is your way of digging into hopefully getting the story. He might actually find that stripping for the men was not difficult at all, because if he goes to the gym, which is a good chance he does, there are already men looking at him. Whether he's clothed in his workout gear, butt naked in the locker room, is plenty of dick and ass in the locker room. And I don't know if men ever stop looking. You know, we're always comparing ourselves over the course of a lifetime, and it's either comparison or entertainment or just like whatever. Hell, you just look and you don't even see the penis, you just see the guy. But him having men looking at him shouldn't be a real major issue. So if you don't want to be on the sly side and kind of leading him into the conversation, you may just want to say, "Babe, I'm a little concerned about something. I heard that you did a gig, you know, for men. I'm assuming these were gay men, and I didn't know you did that kind of work. Or I didn't know that was a population that you served." At which point, let him talk. Because he's probably going to tell you how he came about the gig. Hell, it was probably a guy at the gym that said, "Hey, you know, do you want to make some extra change? I know you strip. You want to make a little extra?" And he was like, "Hell yeah, I'm trying to take my lady to so and so." For all you know, he buying you some jewelry. You don't know. Saving for a down payment on a house. If y'all in California, you need it. And so you really want to just bring up the subject. Don't let it fester with you, because that's when your mind is going to create all kinds of fantasies and stunts and just play out shows in your head. You don't have time for that. But you really need to have a very straightforward and direct conversation with him to find out what his thinking was. You know, is this something that's going to be normal for him? If so, okay, now you know. Can you get to a place of being okay with that? Do you need to be his valet at gigs like this so you can see what's going on? Or do you not want to know? I mean, how did you get past the issues with him stripping for women? Because clearly that's a sexual rivalry issue. I would think him stripping for men, even if you believe he's straight, you're like, well, if he's going to take his clothes off and shake his ass for these men, what else would he do? You know, for money, what else would he do for a little extra money? I'm guessing maybe that's your thinking on this. You need to have a conversation with him about that. So many relationship issues can be resolved through honesty and transparency and communication. Like, just direct, blunt, this is where I am, and this is what you did. It made me feel this way. I don't want to feel that way. So let's talk about how this shit ain't gonna happen again. However, you got to do that. That really resolves about 90% of relationship issues. And so you want to have a conversation with him about, you know, how did you come to this gig? How did you feel about it? Because maybe he wants to talk to you about it. Like, baby, it was rough. Like, damn. He's like, but they paid well. You know, it's like, you know, I got paid 2 grand for an hour of my time. At which point, you might be like, oh, okay, you go on and get them gigs. It's possible. We don't know. But yeah, I don't know if you need to be concerned about the fact that he was dancing for other men as much as perhaps he didn't tell you about it and finding out his reasons for not telling you. If you are a highly reactive, you know, person that is going to be some mess, then now you know why he didn't say anything. For him, it's a job. And it was some overtime. He probably cleared money for a week in that 1 hour time, you know, and may not have had a hand laid on him except the guy that oiled him down. So, yeah, and actually, you beat an oil lady. If you're that concerned, be the oil lady. You come in with him, you oil him up, you send him on out, and you stay in the background. And Just observe. And you can actually say to him, like, hey, you know, nice gig tonight. The money was nice. Can you try to find a way for them not to have fingers in your G-string, please? Or you're not taking it all off in front of these guys. Establish boundaries. That's the best thing I can tell you. But more than anything, have a conversation with them. You can't solve this on your own. If there's some things you need to know about what he's doing or what he's done, you need to go to the source. It's the only place you're going to get it from. And it's the only place that you should trust the information from in this context, because your relationships are important. Clearly, you don't want to get it from third and fourth parties if you can help it. So it's like if you're with a man that you cannot trust, you really don't have him. You don't need to be with him. Find something else to swing on. Find another pole to slide down. There you go. And then slide back up again and back down, and get the hips in it. But okay, I digress. So yeah, Kiki, I wish you the best, girl. But let us know how that turns out. This should be interesting. But remember, nuance in the conversation, not accusation. You're just asking questions and trying to understand how that happened. And then what happened? And how'd you feel about it? Okay, so when you get home from that kind of gig, you're gonna need to really wear me out. You want me to strip for you when you get home? Figure that shit out. Hell, he might need you to strip for him. That's all I got. All right. So I believe that closes the show for today. Once again, be sure to check out Angelica Ross on the Eat, Pray, Thought podcast. I cannot stress how fabulous that episode was. And she was dropping some knowledge, and her nonprofit sounds really, really interesting. So be sure to check that out. If you're enjoying what you saw today or what you heard, be sure to subscribe either on YouTube or you can subscribe to the podcast, which will have probably some intro and outro music on it. I'm not that advanced with the video yet, so it'll just be the clip. You'll be all right. Also, if you have any questions or comments, or content that you'd like to hear on the show, I'm still developing this. This is a first run with video. I don't know what it's going to look like in 2 months. I'm just out here. I put on my big boy pants and I'm leaping. So here I am in all my glory. So reach out to us at thesexualhealingpod@gmail.com. You can also communicate with me on Twitter at podsexual or at my personal account for the show, Dr. Pookie, which is DocTorPookie. That is the Bujetto spelling of Pookie. And
So y'all have a good one. Thanks for hanging out with me again. We got a channel, so go ahead and subscribe either to the YouTube show or the podcast. Alrighty, I'll see you guys next Wednesday. Take care.